Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our third installment on Megillas Esther. There's so much to talk about in Megillas Esther, but for the sake of moving along, we're just going to touch on specific points. I want to go ahead to the introduction to Mordechai. So the feast happened, Vashti has been killed, and now we have a very brief introduction. Ish Yudi Hayab Shushan Habira. There was a Jewish man in Shushan Ushmo Mordechai. His name was Mordechai. The pasuk goes on. Okay. The Sfas Emes has a very interesting comment on this pasuk. He says, referring to Mordechai as Ish Yudi, a Jewish man, actually accentuates an important background leading into the Purim story, which is there was a lack of unity within Klal Yisrael. We know this is a theme that's touched on in Haman's words to Achashverosh. Famously, Haman, in describing the Jewish people, says, Yashno am echad mefuzar mefarad bein ho'amim. There's a certain nation spread out among the nations. Whatever his intention was, maybe we'll speak about that later, but it's also understood as the way it's related in the Megillah as being a statement that part of the reason Haman even had the opportunity to do this to the Jews is because their merits as a people were at somewhat of a low point because they were mefuzar mefarad, spread out and not united. And you have in the planning for Esther going in and the fasting and the davening, there are languages where she says to Mordechai, Lech knos es kol ha'yudim, go gather together all the Jews, and similar languages to that. So the Sfas Emes just points out, even though Mordechai, of course, was a person of great piety and a great leader of the Jewish people, the whole way in which he's referred to in his introduction isn't necessarily his fault, but it speaks to the fact that people were not of great unity at the time. Ish Yudi, he was a Jewish man. He wasn't part of a greater whole. We, of course, have the famous story of Ahasuerus deciding he needed a new queen and having a contest throughout the land to find a beautiful wife for Ahasuerus. And of course, Esther Hamalka is chosen. It's very interesting. There are different approaches in the Gemara. There is an approach that says that Esther wasn't a particularly attractive woman, and yet she had this chut shel chesed, literally translated a strand of kindness bound around her. There was just something about her that Ahasuerus saw her in a favorable light. There are opinions in the Gemara that Esther was from one of the most beautiful women in the world. So there are different ways to look at the story. Either way, of course, the fact that she was chosen was certainly the divine hand. Famously, we have the Gemara that Ahasuerus was fascinated by Esther's lineage, and he tried to do all these different things to honor her and please her, to get her to tell her lineage, and she refused. Why did she refuse? Just to cite two opinions, Rashi says, which is probably what most of us would have assumed, that the Jewish people were not necessarily so highly esteemed in the eyes of Ahasuerus. So Mordechai prevailed upon Esther to not reveal her nationality, because if she would, she probably would be relieved of her position. That it wasn't a good yichus, so to say, it wasn't good lineage to be married to a Jewish woman, and Mordechai sensed that there was an important reason for her to have this position. That's what Rashi says. The Ibn Ezra says a different pshat, which we probably can also relate to, which is if you tell everyone that you're Jewish, then all the different nuances and idiosyncrasies in what you do that seem slightly different than what everyone else in the palace is doing will bring attention. If you're not going to eat the meat, it's not because you don't like meat, it's because there must be kosher laws, and so on and so forth. So the Ibn Ezra suggests that Mordechai wasn't worried that Esther would be deposed as queen. Mordechai was worried that when they understood that she was keeping certain observances for religious reasons, they would pressure her to no longer keep these observances. If they didn't know that she was a Jew, who knows why she doesn't want to eat meat, or whatever the exact examples would be. That's the Ibn Ezra's approach. One more interesting Gemara, just to cite, also a famous one. She had different maidservants, and she would count the days through her maidservants. In other words, each maidservant was the designated maidservant for that day, and that was the way she would keep track of which day was Shabbos. Maybe we'll speak about it later in the series, but the terrible travails of Esther a Jewish woman in such a non-Jewish environment compelled to live as husband and wife with a non-Jewish man for the sake of the needs of her people, it's a fascinating story. And by the way, remember, it didn't change at the end of the story. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.